Lord has blessed us once again with a beautiful morning full of his mercy and his goodness. And so what an opportunity to join together in person and online to worship our great God. Which side were you usually on? The winning side or the losing side? That theme continues. Deep down, does anyone really want to be on the losing side? Even if you're just the spectator? And this is true not just when it comes to sports, but various aspects of life. Losing can be painful. And yet, depending on the source of the loss, it can be dulled with time. This is not the case when it comes to the subject matter of God's word before us today. So let's get to it. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of the worship bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. What does God tell us about ourselves in his holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only his punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve his punishment, what should we do?
We will confess.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your victory, you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to that day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords to your unending praise and glory.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God.
We're at the last Sunday of end time in our church here, with the emphasis being on Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who indeed is in absolute control. And reminders of that throughout our readings for this morning. First of all, a reading from Holy Scripture, Daniel 7. A couple of words that can be used to describe the last day: intense and victory. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What we have before us is needed encouragement, especially in light of what is going on in our world. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him?
For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. The evidence should be obvious on which side of the Lord you are standing on. The Lord says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The time has come. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Read with me, please, verses 37 through 39. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to the hymn of the day and sing it as noted. While you're taking the first two verses, we'll be joining in verses 3.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, and also our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to these words from the book of Daniel. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have a name in mind, and I need some letters from you to see if we can determine that name in before we reach five strikes. So someone give me a letter, and I'll let you know if it's in the name. A. There are two of them.
L?
Strike one.
Another letter?
R.
Strike two.
T.
Oh, we got a T in there, yeah. So we got two A's and a T.
S.
There is an S. So we got two A's, a T, and an S. We got two strikes going on us.
I.
You said R?
I.
Oh, I. Yeah, there's an I in there. Two A's, an I, T, and S. What was that? No. Any other letters?
Yeah.
There is an M.
Oh,
there is an O as well. One more letter to see if we can get it. So you got an A. No. You said B? B? N. Yes. So, I'll give it to you. I was going to have a whiteboard out here, but I left the marker in my office. Ancient of Days. Right? What a fitting name for God. Why? Well, he's ancient.
He was there before anything was.
Right? It emphasizes that term ancient, emphasizes the fact that it all begins with him and ends with him. There is no beginning and there is no end with God, who is the Ancient of Days. He's the one who brought days into being, and he's the one who will end days as we know them. Some other fitting names for God, real quick. Oh, Alpha and Omega, right? Good. Beginning and end.
It all starts and ends with him. The Almighty. I am. Yahweh, right? The covenant God, faithful to his promises, all-powerful. And that the fitting name, again, as we are in the last Sunday of end time, the last Sunday of another church year, where we emphasize Christ really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he is one with he who is the Ancient of Days. And why is that important? Because on this Christ the King emphasis Sunday, we're reminded once again that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is the one who gets the last word. And it's not just at the end of time that God gets the last word. In fact, he is carrying out his word each and every day. He holds the whole world accountable each and every day until the end comes. And thankfully, in light of that day, God, through his Christ, has obtained the victory of victories. Because the victory that he has obtained through the Christ. It is a victory that has no end. Some people could care less about that victory. Some people forget about the implications of that victory. I mean, memory is an interesting thing, right? Who can remember who won the Super Bowl in the year 2000 without Googling it? And who can remember the team they beat to be claimed champions? But there is one championship that everyone needs to pay attention to and not forget, because their life literally depends on it. And so as we're on this Christ the King Sunday emphasis, the last Sunday of the church year, we're reminded of the fact that at the heart of that championship are two key truths. In light of the fact that God is the one who gets the last word, as he is the one who holds people accountable, and he is the one who has obtained the victory which has no end. Why does God hold people accountable? Well, because what does God demand? He demands perfection, and rightly so. This is who he is. A God of perfection. Even the description before us in Daniel, right? How he is described, what he's wearing, what he's sitting at, what's all around him, his hair and everything, it's all pure. And what cannot be tolerated in the presence of God? Our impurities. And so what does God see? Instead of seeing the perfection he demands, he sees the impurity. Even from people who are trying, we say, to live a life pleasing to God. But as we reminded of previously through the prophet Isaiah, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Even the best that we do cannot appease a holy God. But God doesn't change who he is to accommodate us in a way. He still demands perfection of us, even though he knows he will not see it. The Lord gives us a good description of what he does see instead of perfection. From 2 Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days, and we've been in the last days for a long time. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And so the encouragement, have nothing to do with such people. Another example of what the Lord sees instead of what he demands, Jesus' words in Matthew 24, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Not what God wants to see, but this is what he does see. And this is what we are experiencing. And do we want to experience it forever? No, we want to escape from it. And thankfully, there is a way to escape from it. Other ways, though, that describe what God sees instead of what he demands and expects. Well, we're familiar with the terms apathy and indifference and laziness, indoctrination. That can work both ways. There is an indoctrination taking place against God, as Jesus himself indicated, would happen and has been happening really ever since the fall into sin. And so the Lord reminds us through the Apostle Paul in his own words, penned by Matthew, that we are to be alert to this indoctrination that is taking place and combat it. And he's given us what we need to combat this indoctrination that leads to people remaining lovers of themselves and treacherous and brutal and causing wars and rumors of wars and putting all sorts of false teachings out there to deceive people. And so the Lord reminds us then to keep our life in perspective. It's not we who get the last word in. It's God who gets the last word in. And so he reminds people that we are to be held accountable. And we will be held accountable. But what's one of the leading teachings of evolutionary thought? It's really that you're not accountable to anybody, but survival of the fittest. It's one of the ways to get around acknowledging that there is a supreme being, someone that we are accountable to, but they will be shocked. They really shouldn't be, because they have this natural knowledge and their conscience and the natural law, which testifies to the accountability before God, which then they deny. Some people even deny that God is the one who gets the last word by taking their own life, especially when they're not feeling well and don't want to wait for God's time to end their life. And so they end it kind of in an in-your-face, God. You thought you were in control. I'm the one who's in control. Well, now you just got to face your maker faster, and it's not going to be pretty. Because God is the one who gets the last word. There are no earthly superpowers, really. I mean, think about it, and the Lord alludes to it through Daniel. How many superpowers have risen up throughout world history, and how many of those superpowers still exist? They come and they go, but at whose direction are they raised up and then knocked down? Really at God's direction. Because God raises them up for his purposes, usually to serve as a wake-up call, even for his own people, as we think of the history of the children of Israel. But then at the same time, he tears down those nations that he used to carry out his purposes for another purpose. For example, too, delivering the children of Israel, remnant of them, from their captivity in Babylon back to the homeland for the purpose of carrying out the promise of a Savior. God does not act without cause in raising up and tearing down. It's not the nations necessarily that are so powerful, but what God allows them to do to a point. And that's been the case throughout history and still is today. What is going on in our world today, the Lord knows about and has given us fair warning that it's there, not so that we live our lives in fear, not that we're flippant to it either, but that we have a confidence that we know who is in control and who gets the last word, as we human beings are the ones who create the turmoil, and as God is the one who keeps it in check and turns it to serve his purposes, to wake us up with fear and trembling, and leads us to what can help us through that fear and trembling. And that's the victory that he has obtained, a victory which has no end. That victory is a reminder that we do not serve a vengeful God, rather we serve a just and merciful God. What we cannot do for ourselves, he has made sure has been done for us. We fall short of the expectations, the demands of a holy, righteous God, time and time again. And even our best efforts still fall short. I mean, Proverbs reminds us of that. There's a way that seems right to we human beings, but in the end, it leads to death. We think, man, if I could just, you know, have enough good works, Lord, you're going to be satisfied. And if he's not satisfied, well, then I don't need you, God. Because what kind of God are you? And how foolish people are who say that. Because that foolish talk leads to death. No one, by observing the law, can be saved. Well, we'll just try harder or we'll balance things out. It doesn't work that way. There is only one way to appease God. And that's through that one who appeared to be like a son of man, who was before the Ancient of Days. And by that Ancient of Days was given all authority and power. Who was sent to seek and to save the lost, which includes you and me and everyone else in this world. And because of what he has accomplished, we can have peace with God and not live in fear of God. He came as one who was like us and yet had one very important distinction. He was without sin. And so he could attain what we could not attain. He could live up to the standards, the perfection that the Ancient of Days demanded, and he did. And he could take that perfection to the cross because our sin needed to be atoned for through the shedding of blood, but not just any blood. It had to be pure, innocent blood. And as a reminder that Jesus, the Son of Man, was willing to go all the way for us. Remember when he was arrested by the mob? What he said to his disciples? I could call down a whole army of angels to rescue me. I could do it myself. But that would not accomplish what needs to be accomplished, the saving of lives. And so Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself for us so that we would not have to be sacrificed. Victory has been accomplished by that cross. And it's been sealed by his empty tomb. And it's been given out to us by the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace. And so what's a fitting response then to the Ancient of Days and the one who is like a son of man, who has all power and authority, will come back as judge of the living and the dead? Well, it's one of worship. Formal worship and informal worship. Regular worship and daily worship. Because if we're not connected to God on a regular basis, well, what happens? We can easily be disconnected for life. Not just this earthly life, but for eternity. The Lord then has given us his means of grace so that we can stay connected regularly and show that we are connected daily. For when he comes back, he will open that book. And by the grace of God, our name will be in the book of life. And there will be evidence that we were and are on the side that saves lives. Sometimes we act as Christians not even aware that we're doing this as something that God looks favorably on. And that's the whole point. That we don't need to be actively going, well, God will be happy with this one and he'll be happy. We just act. Fruits of faith. We see someone in need. We want to help them directly or indirectly. We want to offer a word of encouragement as we like to be encouraged. Maybe it's sending a note. by email, by mail, by text, whatever. Maybe it's in person. For on that last day, we too will say, Lord, when did we do all this for you? And he'll say, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. The clothing drives, the food drives, showing up to work and doing your job, loving your kids, loving your grandkids, praying for them. All that adds up. That's all part of worship. That's what it means to be a sheep. And while people might celebrate today in our world being a goat, when it comes to standing before God, you don't want to be a goat. Because there is only one greatest of all time, and that's the Ancient of Days and his Son, Jesus Christ. So continue to give evidence that you are on the winning side. Not keeping score, just doing it. So on this last Sunday of end time, we're reminded that God makes no apologies for what he has to say. Because what he has to say is needed truth. It's truth meant to hurt, but it's meant to hurt in order to save life. God deals in realities. It's the world that is not. God deals with the reality of sin and death and ruin and unfavorable judgment. And also then the reality of the victory of Jesus and what that victory brings. Life and peace and hope and favorable judgment. And so, dear friends, continue to give thanks for him who is the King of Kings, who has worked with the Ancient of Days and has been generous with his spoils. For he is the one who gets the last word. Find peace in that, dear friends. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's found for us on page 8.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death.
All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally.
This is certainly true. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
Help us patiently endure in chastening and afflictions for your dear Son, who are us, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best. And by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days, praise to you, immortal praise. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another, as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your Holy Scriptures
for our learning.
May we
hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart.
That being strengthened and comforted by your Holy Word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Bible study continues to look at God's hand throughout history, and Daniel is a good book to read in light of that Bible study. Just a reminder of how God, again, raises up nations and tears them down for his purposes, even the United States, right? The freedom of religion that we have been given, but probably are losing little by little, and to be a beacon to the world around us. But now God is bringing the world to us because we're not being that beacon as we need to be. So a lot to pray about, and good Bible study to review all of that and be encouraged. The live nativity coming up on December 9th from 5 to 7. There are invites available for you to pass out and invite people to. You can direct them to our website under the events link. They can find out more information. And if you would like to be involved with the Light Nativity as a volunteer, see Mark LeMay and he'll fit you in one way or another, right? We can always use more llamas and donkeys and, no, I'm just kidding, right? Yeah, exactly. And there are some speaking parts this year too, so we keep adding to it by the grace of God. All-member brunch on December 10th in between the services, so there won't be Bible study that day. We'll be encouraging each other in a different way that day, so hopefully you can fit that into your schedule. There's a sign-up sheet there in the entryway on the shelf under the television. If you can bring something, a dish to pass, great. If not, just come anyway. And or if you don't sign up on the sheet, you can just send an email to Stacy. And if you forget and are here that day, just come anyway, right? The Lord always provides, so keep that in mind. Note, as we get in now soon to the month of December, the Christmas service times, there'll be invites for Christmas services available next week. So that's also coming up to keep in mind. And then next Sunday, don't forget about the marathon that's taking place. Some streets will be closed. So again, if you live on the east and need to come this way, just adjust your schedule accordingly so you don't get caught up unless you're going to go into the marathon and maybe you'll finish first. You never know. Again, this coming weekend, the River City Chorale will be using our facility on Friday and Saturday. You're welcome to come to the concert. You can see on the bulletin board, there's an invite there how to get tickets, either by phone or going to their website. Advent by candlelight next Sunday evening. All ladies are welcome and invited to come together for a special worship and reflection. Again, no sign up is necessary, and food will be provided this year. Midweek Advent services will start taking place the first three Wednesdays in December at 6:30 each week. Just a heads up on that. And suppers, again, will take place at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. They'll be provided. So come and enjoy some food and fellowship and then worship. And then just see the weekly news for the things going on. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.